India denounced Israel as the aggressor. In the early 1990s, the policy began to change with the opening of the Indian embassy in Tel Aviv. Since 2014, when the Hindu nationalist BJP came to power, India has made its pro-Israel stance very clear, much to the chagrin of Indians who remain loyal to the Palestinian cause.
With all these people, they don't support anybody. They support their interests. I mean, Modi was dancing tango with Netanyahu in the open in the last few years. And now with the new advent of Ukraine, and people are sort of looking inwardly and saying, this is in the interest of my people, this isn't. And he is not supporting Palestine, he is supporting India. Like he said to America, no, I will not condemn Russia because they're offering me cheap oil. They were very, very open about it. Mercenary, yes, but this is politics. And this is modern politics because unfortunately, since the Second World War, when America took the lead single-handedly ruling over the world, things have changed. No more principles, no more morals. It's gains and conquest and what you can get. And they've been doing it all over the world. Unfortunately, we in the Arab and Muslim world got our unfair share of American largesse at the point of a gun.
You're listening to The Subcontinent, broadcast by IRIB English Radio. This weekly program reviews ongoing developments in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. Listen to The Subcontinent every Monday here on IRIB English Radio.
Now to have more insight, we are joined by Mr. Wafiq Faour, an activist and member of Vermonters for Justice in Palestine. Now, welcome to the program, sir. As we know, almost 43 years after the founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini gave the call for International Quds Day, the biggest rallies today are held in the Indian subcontinent. So what is it that brings people to the streets in such large numbers on this special day?
Ayatollah Khomeini, and with the definitely acceptance of the rest of the world, mainly the Palestinian movement, that time when he announced it, they are very welcoming because we as Palestinians, we understand Al-Quds, quote-unquote Jerusalem, is not a Palestinian cause or an Arab cause only. It's a Muslim cause and it's an international cause. And every year, as I am observing it, I notice that it's becoming bigger because Al-Quds is a central issue to all Muslims around the world. I think Khomeini was... he read the future more than anybody else, believing that Al-Quds going to be central to the Palestinian question and the question between the survival of Israel as a colonial entity on the Middle East or the demise of that entity. And I believe he was futuristic and smart to do what he did.
Mr. Faour, as you mentioned before, Imam Khomeini affirmed that this day is not exclusive to Palestine and Jerusalem, but is dedicated to all the oppressed across the world. So how does International Quds Day today resonate with people in places like India, Pakistan, Kashmir, and also Afghanistan?
I'm not going to deny that there is oppression everywhere. I mean, you mentioned on India, on the Muslim region of Kashmir, and Afghanistan in particular. I mean, oppression is all over the world. Those two are central as well. I believe there is no difference between our struggle and the Kashmir struggle, because they want independence and self-determination as the Palestinians. On Afghanistan, I think it's a little bit different, because I don't believe the American occupation of Afghanistan is obsolete yet, and still they have a hand of what's going on over there, including the changing of the government of Pakistan just recently. I believe you have forces in the Western world who are creating the modern colonialism, that they're not going to let go of what's going on. They will never accept losing the battle and the occupation of Afghanistan. They still have power within the Pakistani army and the Pakistani system. And maybe it will take time, but things are changing quickly, mainly after what's going on Ukraine and Russia. And I believe everything going parallels, and the effect of that war, we cannot predict it completely this early, on this early time.
Now, sir, in places like Pakistan and Afghanistan, international Woods Day rallies have also focused on foreign interference and activities of Western-backed terrorist groups. This is while many see the hand of Western and its spy agencies behind the recent terrorist incidents in Afghanistan. So what's your assessment on this, Mr. Faul?
You see, on Afghanistan, it is... is still not free yet from 20 years of war from the American occupation. And I think they left many elements and created many elements similar that what they are creating on Syria, on Libya, on many parts of the Muslim world, that they still... on the payroll of the American CIA and American forces. And I believe those forces and those terrorist group, those extremists, they are creating what we don't wanna see on the Middle East. And it started before 9/11, but 9/11 was clear, because until now we didn't read the full story of 9/11 and who created Osama bin Laden and those Wahhabi group, those extremists. But the world at one point will learn that much of extremism, it was a Western creation. American up front, but it have been supported by other Western forces as well.
Now, Mr. Faul, what about India? People in India have traditionally been staunch supporters of the Palestinian cause, but the official Indian position has drastically altered in recent years. So why do you think that is?
The Indian government, as I read what's going on in Kashmir, they are extremist as well. The Hindu movement, they wanna create a sectarian problem similar to what the West is creating in Afghanistan, on Syria, and in the Middle East, that they want to divide the public based on their sect and their religious background. They made the Sunni Shia as a fight, and this is the struggle of what's going on the Middle East. The only beneficiary of this kind of division is the colonialist power that created and have been forced upon us from the West. This is the major problem, that some people bought to this idea that we are divided, even though our goals are the same. More things, 99%, I mean, Muslim, Sunnah or Shia, they believe on the same book, the same Muslim tradition. There isn't that division that the West have to like to highlight and to make it possible for them. The whole idea of creating this upheaval is to keep the West their foothold in our land.
On that note, I would like to thank Mr. Faour for his precious time and knowledge. Now, let's see how people have reacted on social media.
Kashmir-based photojournalist Sayed Shahriar shares pictures taken at the International Quds Day rally in Kashmir's summer capital, Srinagar, in 2019, before the COVID-19 pandemic broke out. Dr. Hafizur Rahman, a New Delhi-based university professor and author, says he addressed the International Quds Day gathering at Jantar Mantar, a popular protest site in the heart of the Indian capital. Pakistani social media activist Sheikh Salim Ahmad notes that Pakistan has always supported the Palestinian cause, sharing pictures from International Quds Day rally held in Faisalabad city. Mirway Salamzoy, an Afghan journalist, asserts that oppression faced by Palestinians is akin to the oppression faced by all Muslims, adding that preparations are afoot for observing International Quds Day in Afghanistan. Kashmir-based university student Farooq Farhan shares a picture taken at the International Quds Day rally in Tehran to suggest that the day seeks to raise awareness about all oppressed people worldwide.
And that was our special episode about the International Quds Day, support for the Palestinian cause, and how it resonates with people's own struggles against injustice in the South Asian region. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take good care.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا فجعله نسبا وصهرا وكان ربك قديرا.
And it is he who has created from semen a human being and made him a relative by lineage and marriage. And ever is your Lord competent concerning creation.
We are going to discuss the 54th verse of this chapter. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. And he it is who has created man from water. Then he made him related in blood and in wedlock, and your Lord is ever powerful. Since the previous verses talked about the falling of rain as well as the locating of the salty and sweet waters beside each other, now this verse mentions the creation of man from water. But the purpose of water in this noble verse is the sperm of man, and the evidence of it is found in the following two verses that says, did we not create you from a base fluid, and he is created from a gushing fluid? Anyway, the verse starts saying, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. And he it is who has created man from water. Verily, carving on water and shaping such a novel figure on water is the reason for the omnipotence of Allah. In fact, the former verses talked about the growth of plants because of rainwater, the different benefits of rainwater. But here it speaks about a higher level, that is the creation of something, which is man, of utmost complexity from water. Therefore, the commentators believe that the purpose of water here is the sperm from which all men are generated by Allah's might. And this sperm, which is floating in water, joins the woman's, and the first blossom of man's life, that is the first living cell of man, will be created.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
If a man carefully studies the various phases of forming sperm, from the beginning up to the end of the fetal period, he sees a lot of signs of Allah's might and magnificence, so that they will be enough to know His pure essence, His existence in the world. And this commentary about translating the purpose of water into the sperm of man will be proved by the sentences that follow the verse, and we will, God willing, explain it. Anyway, undoubtedly, most of man's body consists of water. Talking about benefits of water, we can mention that the main material of every man is water. And consequently, man can very scarcely resist lack of water. While he can survive many days and weeks without eating food, but he cannot resist a lack of water. He cannot resist thirst. Of course, it is possible that all of these meanings are included in the concept of the verse. I mean, reason why the word water is mentioned in this verse could be both the first man is created from water and all human beings that are created from water, which was sperm. And that water is the most important material of man's body. But what amazes us is the fact that water is the simplest material of the world. You see it everywhere, but how has it become the source of such wonderful creation? This is the reason for His might. This is what He wants us to consider and understand. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. And He it is who made man from water. And then the verse continues after mentioning the creation of man to talk about the increase of generations. It says, فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا وَصِهْرًا. And then He made him related in blood and wedlock. The purpose of the word nasab, or blood, is the relationship that is between men by way of reproductions and births, such as the relationship between father and offspring, or relationship between brothers. The word sihr, the purpose of this word, or translated into wedlock, originally means groom. And the purpose of this word, which is used in this verse, is the relationship that occurs through marriage between the two families, such as the relation of man with the close relatives of his wife, which is created in this way. These two are what Islamic jurists say as the indirect cause and lineage in the subject of marriage. Brothers and sisters, we will, God willing, talk about this verse more in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. This series of the program Viewpoints is mainly concerned with the speeches and thoughts of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, also known as Imam Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Ali and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
So, and Shaykh Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, very recently in one of the speeches of Imam Khamenei, he talked about a very important concept, which is Jihad al-Tabyin. And so many people in Iran, inside Iran and outside Iran, were shocked by this, we can say, type of look at the world and at the concept of jihad. Because this is the first time that this term has been coined by the Rahbar and he used it. So now there are so many, we can say, explanations, commentaries and interpretations written on this concept. Of course, Rahbar in his speech gave us a very nice framework for Jihad al-Tabyin, but this is good to be more familiar with this concept, maybe for the English-speaking people all around the world through this radio show, Viewpoints. Even inside the Islamic land, the key holders of the Kaaba and the Mecca, I mean the Wahhabis and all these kings over there, okay, are hand in hand with the enemy of Islam. So, is it at all true to say that Islamic Republic of Iran is alone, or no, maybe this Jihad al-Tabyin can also attract some people out of the borders of Islam, for example, Christians, Jews, those who are after the social justice seekers across the world, those people who believe in the concept of the last savior, for example, okay? What's your answer to that?
Well, I think because the Islamic Revolution was based on the pure Mohammedan Islam, and the difference between this country, which is Iran, obviously we know it as the Islamic revolutionary country, not the Iran, the state only the, as an Iran.
Okay.
It's a revolutionary country and it's an Islamic revolutionary country. Therefore, we can see that because the main aim was to gain Islam, to have Islam in this country, to apply the pure Mohammedan Islam in this country. That's why we can see it is on the front foot. And we clearly see Iran being engaged with all these things.
Yes.
But on the other hand, we cannot say it is just Iran. Other people, other countries are also involved, not at the government level. For example, you know, whenever something happens to the against the Prophet ﷺ or the Quran, the very first people which we see who have, you know, protests and all those things, it always happens in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people themselves. Not the government. I'm not talking about the governments right now.
Yes.
Within the people, we can see, and the Supreme Leader also has said, the belief that the Pakistani Muslims have, they have a firm belief on the Quran and the Prophet.
Yes.
You know, if someone says anything to the Prophet or the Quran, they, according to their beliefs, they do protest. Whether it's happened in the France or in any other part of the world, they stand against it. So we can see people doing that, but because the governments are not sincere, because the governments are following the, you know, the strategy that are set by the capitalist, by the capitalism.
Yes.
They are following a different system, yes, within the Islamic State, and they just have the name of the Islamic State. That's why we cannot see these countries, these governments, or the rulers of these countries being with the you know, on the front foot.
Yes.
On the other hand, we can see, like, for example, the example that you gave for the Ahl-e-Saud and all those,
yes,
they're just pretending to be the Muslims. you know, the land which was free of the idols, which was free out of the, you know, all the non-Islamic rituals and all those things. They are just doing that again. They just brought that again. They are like killing people. They finance ISIS. You know, all these things. This shows that they're not the true followers of Islam, but they are the puppets who have been, you know, plotted in mm-hmm. these countries.
Yes.
And we know that there's a term which is used in the Quran, and it can be used in all the times for the enemies, and that is taghut,
mm-hmm.
rebels.
Yes,
taghut is a good term for all the yes. times.
Aggressors. You
know, so we can use this term for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know that Imam Khomeini also mentioned that the America is the big Saturn,
yeah, Shaitan
and the Shaitan Bozorg, big Saturn, how it is doing, what it is doing, what he has done to the, you know, again, because we're talking about the current affairs as well, we have this. I have to take the name of Ukraine again.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was what the Prime Minister of Ukraine yeah. himself claimed
yeah.
that Iran and the other countries stand firm on your, you know, stances and positions regarding your nuclear power, because this is the trust we did on the U.S., Great Britain, and the Russia Federation,
mm-hmm.
and now this is happening to us.
You know, there is a verse in the Quran
yes.
that الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ
mm-hmm.
The Satan gives you the promise of hunger.
Mm. Yes.
You know, in reality, maybe in front of you, he says, like, I will protect you,
mm-hmm.
do not pray to God, do not do this, do not do that. But at the end, when it is the time you need help from the Satan,
he deceives you.
He deceives you, yeah. and he will not help you, and the hunger will come Remind, after you.
Yes.
Now, Ukraine is being, you know, involved in hunger.
Rapper on Eid al-Mab'as talked about taking lessons from history. You know, I mean, tajrubai tarikhi, taking lesson from history and the experiences that other countries had, and he named different lands, you know. For example, Afghanistan was one of them, you know. The then president of Afghanistan, when he was toppled down and he fled away, in an interview, he talked against the U.S., that U.S. did this and did that, promised me this and promised that. Okay, we will eliminate hunger from your country. Famine, something like that, but none of them happened.
Yeah. We have chapter 2, verse yes. number 267.
Yes.
It says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى
mm-hmm.
You know, Shaitan promises you of the hunger, and he orders you to the indecency, immorality.
Yes.
وَاللَّهُ, but Allah, and Allah, يَعِدُكُمُ الْمَغْفِرَ
Yes.
He promises you the forgiveness. مِنْهُ, from him, وَفَضْلَ And obviously the bounty, Wallahu wasi'un alim. So basically it is very important to know the taghut, to know your enemy.
Yes.
That was the right thing. But in the methodology, obviously, we have many people who wants to get involved into
yes.
this jihad.
Yes.
But the first thing is you need to load yourself with the proper weapon
mm-hmm.
for this war. It is a war.
Yes.
This soft war is a war,
mm-hmm.
and it is not less than the hard war that we had.
Yes.
Obviously, you need to get prepared. You need to load yourself with the proper weapon. If it is the knowledge, you need to get knowledge. It is upon you. If it is about to, you know, learn different, I don't know, applications or the, you know, the softwares, how to deal with it, how to run, or the social media, how to
yes.
use it,
yes.
you need to do it.
You know, the thing that they're doing now, I don't know, have you heard about the Meta Universe or not? The Metaverse and the Meta Project, okay, is a project that the giants of high tech are doing in order to establish, I mean, create the goggles that you put on your eyes, yeah. and then you enter into a yes. world which is absolutely based on the virtual science, and you can make your land, you can buy it. And, you know, the case,
you know,
is that
the same company who yes. built the Bitcoin and
yes,
all those,
yes, yes.
now they're selling the properties.
Properties.
For example, Taj Mahal has been already sold over
yes.
there.
Yes, virtual property.
The virtual property, virtual land.
Yes. And they said that this will finish the corruption. Why? Because
yes.
everyone knows what you own.
Yes.
So no one can, you know, take it from you. No one can invade you. You know, they cannot crack. The point is, the one who has made this software can crack you. He already has yeah. bought everything for himself.
Has got into your mind, you know, through the goggles. You can make your own personality, even with your own characteristics. If you are short in this world, you can make a tall person out of yourself. If you are, I don't know. You
I
know,
remember there was a movie as well.
Yes.
The Hollywood made it.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
They
yes,
used
yes.
to put on the computer. They used to put
Player One. Player One by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Player One, yeah. So
player
in
one.
That,
Game
they put
one.
The goggles, they don't
yes,
have
yes.
the real, in the real world, they don't know each other, they're
okay.
always
That's
you know, got involved in that. The general public, they have different, those who are involved in the IT, they have different methods. The lawyers, the politicians, they have their own duties to. They have their own duties to to perform. So therefore, the methodologies are different. And at this point, obviously, it is hard to just identify. We can identify a couple of them, but not all of them.
Yes,
we cannot just talk about all of them.
Okay,
but obviously, it should be whatever we do. Mm-hmm. It should be first be prioritized.
Yes,
first of all, you cannot just do anything. You cannot just put hand in anything. Number two, it should be in line with the Islamic revolution. Because that's the lesson which we learn, obviously.
It should be in line.
It should be in line with the Islamic revolution.
Okay.
It should be with the scientific and logical support and expertise. It cannot be without that. And be practical. Sometimes we want to do something, but in practical life, we are lazy. So your practice and what you think should be the same. And the last thing, but not least, avoid corruption and sedition. Sometimes we think that, someone has put a material about me on the internet or somewhere else. I need to save Islam, for example. I cannot put something which is based on lies against that person. The corruption, this is a kind of corruption. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be...
So this jihadist habib must be ethical too.
That is important.
Yes.
It should be ethical and true. Because Islam is the religion of truth.
Yes.
So we don't need any lies.
We don't play the dirty game
which they are doing. Yeah. We don't need that.
We don't need that.
When it comes to the tools required, one is, as Sayyid has mentioned too, the adequate knowledge, right?
Yes.
Being empowered with the knowledge and knowing the subject you're addressing. The second is the ability to promote the correct intellectual discourse, right? Knowledge in itself, which is all over the place, is not enough, right? So you have to develop, and if you already have it, good. If not, then you have to develop the ability to promote the correct intellectual discourse.
That's right.
The third one is the ability to follow the proper reasoning and principles of logic. Sometimes people, when they get into this confrontational situation, they put aside logic.
They become emotional
and that doesn't help.
Yes.
The fourth one is Islamic akhlaq, as the leader himself has mentioned, the ethics and morals, which, involves and includes taqwa and sincerity.
That's right.
This is something that's a prerequisite for anyone to enter into this jihad.
Mm-hmm.
Without this, you're going to do more damage than benefit.
Yes.
Then acquaintance with social media tools and techniques.
Yes, like, this is important.
This is very important. If you're going to use it as a means to get to people, you need to know how to work it.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not the least is access to verifiable information, data, and subject matter experts.
That's all right. It's really, I think, a specialized teamwork in order to be done on Jihad al-Tabin. I hope that different groups of the people and those who are interested in this concept, come into the field and, come into the practical aspects of Jihad al-Tabin, because here and there we can see so many people on the members, on the, sermons, giving lectures on the universities and the houses, talking about this. But first of all, we have to understand what is Jihad al-Tabin, what are the categories, what are the main tools. Recently, a book also have been published titled as Jihad al-Tabin by Intisharat Inqilab Islami, Islamic Revolution Publication, compiled by Sayyid Sulh Mirzai, which is a great book. I think it is about more than 500 pages. It is in Farsi language. I hope it's been translated into English language, other languages too. It's a good book, on Jihad al-Tabin. And what Rapper has emphasized on different aspects of this Jihad al-Tabin, Jihad for or of clarification and explanation. Okay, thank you much.
You're welcome.
Sheikh Ali, really fruitful discussion. And Sayyid Mohsen, thank you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanullah. The same.
When I'm too concerned by what they say, why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. Stay tuned.
اتفاقا در روایت داریم عزیزان همین خداوندی که روز اول ماه رمضان
We read in a narration by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam that Allah out of his mercy forgives all sinful people at the beginning of the month of Ramadan except those who have grudge in their hearts towards Muslims, Islam and its teachings. Of course, here spiteful deeds include revenge, suspicion, enmity in heart, etc. Such people have to find a way to solve their ethical problems so that Allah can forgive their other sins in the month of Ramadan too.
آدمای حسود
Envy, hate, suspicion, and arrogance are not forgiven easily since they have roots in the heart of the people, and besides Allah, there are some people who are hurt by such feelings. Allah can easily forgive such misbehaviors today. However, from tomorrow, such hateful people might start doing their bad actions again. As a result, in the month of Ramadan, all the sins can be forgiven, except those sins which are rooted in the hearts of the people towards their brothers and sisters in faith, or towards the Islamic teachings in general. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Hosseini Qomi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The point that may be good to remember on the night of Eid, after a little reminder on Zakatul Fitra, the zakat that applies to everyone according to the common understanding of the fuqaha, or the jurists, or maraja, is zakatul fitra. The other zakat that we have applies to certain earnings, certain products. If one is raising livestock, or if one grows crops, certain crops, certain livestock. Also, if someone has, according to the common understanding of the jurists or our maraja, if someone has currency, if there is currency anywhere in the world, which as far as I know that doesn't exist, that is gold or silver, and they have made a lot of that currency, they have it with them, with certain conditions, zakat applies to that. But those are generally on commodities and certain currencies that zakat applies. Zakatul fitra applies to individuals, meaning the person. It's not about how much you have made or how many livestock you have or homes or things like that. Of course, the person needs to not be in need of help themselves. If they are in need of help themselves, then it doesn't apply to them. But those who are not in need of help, they all have to pay an equal amount. The wajib amount, of course, is equal. So it's on each person, but the one who is supposed to pay it is the one who's responsible for those people. So the breadwinner, the bread maker, the one who brings food to the table, the one who provides for the family who's working, they are going to be responsible to pay it. Of course, if others have the funds, they can also, but the responsibility falls on the shoulders of that person. And whoever is under the financial responsibility of a person, then they have to pay zakatul fitra for them. There's a common question regarding zakatul fitra. It's many times asked, and that is on the night of Eid. There's something written in the Risala. I don't want to mention what is mentioned in the Risala, but it has led to a common misunderstanding, and that is if people have guests over for iftar on the night of Eid, then that makes the host obligated to pay the zakatul fitra of all of those. That isn't the case. A guest is not someone that you are responsible to take care of. In other words, they are not part of the people that you support financially. What is intended by what is mentioned in the Risala is if anybody joins, for example, if you adopt a child on the night of Eid, then with the conditions that have been mentioned. I don't remember all the different conditions, but the idea is that timing, what they're trying to say is that if that person is added on the night of Eid, or if God gives you a new child on the night of Eid, before then there was no child, you didn't have that responsibility. Now that you have, or you have someone that you adopted, or a family that you started taking care of, that you're financially supporting them, they rely on you. That is, those are the types of people that if that happens on the night of Eid, then the person that has now started to support those people will have to pay Zakat al-Fitr on behalf or for each of those people as well. But being a guest at someone's house doesn't qualify as that. And so people don't need to worry about where they go for iftar on that night, and the hosts are not responsible to pay Zakat al-Fitr for the guests, and the guests are to pay their own, whoever is the supporter in each of those families that's now a guest over the other families, they're supposed to pay their own Zakat al-Fitr. The point that we should mention is on this day of Eid, we're told to pay Zakat al-Fitr. It's a zakat that we're supposed to be paying. Those who have, God has given them so that they are on their own. They are able to sustain themselves in terms of what we mean by sustaining themselves is they don't rely on anyone else. They work, they have the funds, they have God has given them, but everybody relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of relying on other people, they don't rely on them. They support themselves. If God has given people that, on the day of Eid, He's made it an obligation to remember and pay a certain amount towards those who cannot, who don't have the means. Of course, that's the common understanding of where it must be spent. According to the verse of the Quran, sadaqat, which all zakat are called sadaqat. The other word for it is that innama sadaqat lilfuqara wal masakin. That verse that talks about sadaqat, that's referring to zakat, and it's talking about where zakat should be used. So it's not only, according to that verse, it's not only the poor, but that's definitely one of the usages. And we'll focus on that. In the community led by the Prophet, where there are people that have the means to take care of themselves, there is an obligation that comes with the rizq, the abundant rizq that God has given those people. He gives, let's not forget. We're not like Qarun. When Qarun was told, give from what God has given you, he said, God didn't give me this, this is mine. I had the knowledge, I had the intelligence, I was smart, I knew how to do this, and I earned it, it's mine. That's Qarun's notion. Our, inshallah, we're all believers, we believe that everything that we have belongs to Allah. God gives to whomever He wishes in abundance. وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. And He gives small amount and little to those He wishes, where they have to rely on others helping them. That's God is providing their sustenance as well. Everybody's sustenance is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need the money He gave to those who have in order to take care of those who don't have. He made it in this way. He said, I'm giving you more than what you need, and I'm giving that person less. They don't have enough to support themselves. And while I give you that, I'm telling you, it's your obligation in different ways. One of those is the time of Eid al-Fitr. This time it's an obligation. You have to pay a portion of what you have. Not too much, but that whatever the amount is, that amount you have to care for and spend a little bit and give. And that portion is their sustenance I have put in your, and what I have given to you. One of the other verses that talks about this in a more general way, not limited to the day of Eid or to the other form of zakat, that doesn't, according to the common understanding, doesn't apply to everyone. The verse says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their belongings, in their property, in what they own, what's in their position, حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. There is a definite portion, they consider it a right, that they owe and they must give, للسائل والمحروم. The سائل, the person who asks for assistance, and محروم, whoever does not have. And we notice it, even if they don't ask us, we don't wait for asking people to ask. As soon as we see someone that doesn't have, we realize that part of what I have actually is rizq for them. I need to go and pay it to them.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
اللهم أهل الكبرياء والعظمة وأهل الجود والجبروت وأهل العفو والرحمة وأهل التقوى والمغفرة أسألك بحق هذا اليوم الذي جعلته للمسلمين عيدا ولمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله زخرا وشرفا وكرامة
We here at IRIB English Radio congratulate the Islamic Ummah and all world Muslims on the blessed occasion of the Eid al-Fitr. A joyous Eid al-Fitr to you all.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh.